Hello and welcome to this week's Hey You Geeks. I'm Rick Ribello.
And I'm Tony Nunes.
And this week we'll be talking Deadpool and other comic book movies. But first off, let's talk about Deadpool. All right, so Tony, obviously Deadpool came out this weekend and has been setting records. We have a very special guest this week. Actually, we'll be talking to Stefan Kapicic, who is the voice of Colossus in the new Deadpool. So we're looking forward to that. And just do a little Deadpool and superhero talk to talk about the things coming up.
So I have not seen Deadpool. You have. Yes. So before we get into the interview later in the show, we'll have you give your spoiler-free review of Deadpool for anybody who hasn't seen it. But it's looking like a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. It's setting records for this time of year. It's setting records for R-rated films. I saw a meme today that showed it compared to a lot of openings for a lot of other superhero films that it's done much better than. And it's pretty shocking. You know, it's had a bigger opening than Batman Begins, Captain America. It's got roughly the same opening as Iron Man. Bigger opening than Thor. I mean, it's amazing.
It's really huge. That's huge. Yeah. Especially for a Sony. This is a Sony film, not a direct Marvel film. So
yeah,
that's a big deal. And there hasn't been a ton of comic book R-rated comic book films.
Yeah.
I mean, my mind goes to Blade. Always goes to Blade. Right. The Blade series, and then movies like Watchmen or V for Vendetta, which are based on kind of darker, shorter runs of comics and not superhero movies.
Right.
I mean, what else do we have that's R-rated besides Blade and now Deadpool?
I think Punisher Warzone was rated R, but the Punisher, I believe, was PG-13.
Okay. That's so, it? Yeah. That's, I mean, I,
that's I'm, it, yeah.
We could be missing some, but memorably, well, I mean, that's
we,
it.
We kind of live in an age of PG-13 movies, period, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at even horror films. You know, it's hard to put out a R-rated horror film nowadays, let alone an action film. Certainly a comic book film, so that plays a role.
Well, the thing is, a lot of these R-rated, like Blade, that's a darker series.
Right.
You know, there's little moments that are funny and everything, but it's just a much darker tone. And a lot of comic books, like Spider-Man and things like that, they just shouldn't be dark. So they do work better with, like, PG-13 ratings. But there are those select comic books that are going to work better in an R. I mean, they're few and far between, though.
Well, that's the big thing about this. You know, when I was watching the movie, and I'd been an avid reader of Deadpool, you know, going back to 1994, and it got the tone correct. I think a lot of people are saying that. It's tone perfect to the books. So if you're an avid reader of the books, then you will have absolutely no problem with this film.
Is it close to Brian Posehn's?
Oh, Deadpool? Very much. Very awesome. Much. I mean, it's very much in line with that. The jokes, the tonality, all the stuff that Deadpool does is so much in that. I mean, you could definitely tell that the people who made this movie had a 100% understanding of the character and how the character worked, which is rare for comic book movies. Usually they have a sense of the character. Well, obviously we saw that with Wolverine Origins when they had Deadpool in that film. And they mock Deadpool in that film in this film. He actually has a Deadpool action figure from Wolverine Origins in this movie.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at that Deadpool in that film, it's nothing like Deadpool. And obviously that affected Ryan Reynolds quite a bit and him wanting to readjust this character.
So. It's nothing like Deadpool because Deadpool, I don't think, can exist outside of an R rating.
No.
So they literally muted him in that movie.
Right, right.
Which is just crazy to do to that character.
Yeah, I mean, they have Ryan Reynolds saying some quips before he's converted in that film, which are very Deadpool-like, but nothing like this.
No.
This is spot on. I mean,
that's good.
Spot on. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. I'm probably going to see it this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it. How was Ryan Reynolds, though? Because, you know, Ryan Reynolds is one of those actors that I've just never... I can't point to anything of his that I really love. I could point to quite a few things that I really loathe, but that's it, you know?
Well, I think he's one of those guys that just... It has to be the right thing. I mean, this job was perfect for him. It's his type of comedy. You know, when you look at Green Lantern, that was really bad casting. Because Green Lantern is a dead serious character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's almost like DC's Captain America. You know, he's a pilot. He's an Air Force guy. He's blonde. He's very serious. You know, so Ryan Reynolds in that role was never a good choice. And then the way they played Green Lantern in that film, just, it was a combination of the serious and the goofy, and it never worked. Whereas this is spot on. I mean, he gets to be 110% himself. He seems very comfortable in his own skin. So I think it's a complete total shift from what we saw with the Green Lantern.
That's good. I mean, he's a capable actor. You know, movies like Buried, which is a great movie. He, you know, with the right role, he can do very good. It's just the fact that he played Deadpool before, you know, I know it's not his fault. It's a kind of a matter of scripting, but he played it unsuccessfully before, so it was just kind of crazy. But he's been fighting for this movie for a long time, for this movie to be made.
Well, I think he understood that this was the right character for him. I think he knew and matched his personality to, and good for him, knowing that the best representation of him would be this character.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see it, the performance seems seamless. It's so that character, and you could tell that he has a full understanding of what he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to be doing. So
that's a good segue point to start talking about some of the other superhero movies coming out this year. And we're not going to go into a ton of detail, but last week I wrote 20 movies that you must see in 2016 story on Geek Dad, which I'll link to with this podcast. But there's a lot of superhero movies coming out this year. There's not a lot that really pull my interest. But a good segue to start is the next superhero movie coming out, which is, I mean, it's absolutely the big one of the year, which is Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, coming out March 25th. Now, it's funny because you were just talking about how Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds and the character portrayal is perfect for that character. And here we have a portrayal of Superman that, at least from the three trailers that we've seen,
oh my God,
looks
so
completely
bad.
Off base.
So bad. So bad.
But you know what? I still listed this movie as one of my 20 must-sees for the year because it is Batman versus Superman at the end of the day.
Well, I will say, for all the hand-wringing about Ben Affleck, from what I've seen so far, he looks like he's got the perfect tone for the old Bruce Wayne.
He does.
And especially this last trailer, which is basically a Batman trailer.
And you know what? I mean, I hate what they're doing with Superman, but the whole Batman angle in that last trailer looks awesome. The Batman scene, the fighting, it's all perfect. Jeremy Irons is Alfred.
I like the thought of Alfred, you know, being a commander.
Yes.
You know, in a bunker. I always thought if I wrote Batman, that would be something I would want to do, is have Alfred being basically his eyes, you know, his eyes in the air.
Yeah, I mean, all of that looks great until they show Superman.
Right.
It's weird because in this world that Zack Snyder has created with Man of Steel and now Dawn of Justice, you know, Superman he's not a villain, but he's being portrayed as such. And when they show Ben Affleck watching Superman in that fight with Zod from the first film, you know, he's watching on as his building is being destroyed and people are dying because these buildings are coming down, which is funny because I remember way back when we did our review on the show of Man of Steel, and which is a film we both liked, but that was our major criticism, was that they destroyed like an entire city, and the destruction and everything in a lot of these kinds of movies it's a kind of an afterthought. There's no repercussions for any of it. And it looks like this movie's setting up for those repercussions. But ironically, it's Superman who thinks Batman is a villain. So that's the part that just kind of offsets everything for me.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of tonal problems in Man of Steel. You know, I had a big problem with how they portrayed Clark Kent's dad.
Yep, I remember that.
You know, I felt that was really wrong. I mean, when you look at Superman 2, essentially you have a big battle with... It's the same movie, right? It's the same thing with Zod and the people.
Yeah.
But in Superman 2, there's a scene, you know, when they're fighting in New York, you see Superman, you know, putting himself in danger to save the people. And then you see Zod and the other people say, you know, obviously his love of the people is his weakness. And you don't get that with these films. Like, you don't get that feeling.
And it felt like they were setting up for it, though, at the end of Man of Steel, when he kind of took on the Clark Kent persona that we all know at the Daily Planet, you know, the glasses and everything. It felt like they were setting up for that, and that the next Superman movie would be that. But this is the next Superman movie, and it looks even deeper into the dark realms of tone.
Right. I mean, and the other thing, too, is like when Clark Kent is not a geek, you know, when he's a sexy guy.
Brooding, yes. So
yeah, it doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work.
It's not the character.
No, because you don't get a transition. You know, one of the best scenes in the Donner series is obviously one of the greatest bits of acting in the entire bit is when Christopher Reeve gets his hand stuck in the fire. And Lois Lane outs him as Superman, and you literally see him take off his glasses and readjust his shoulders, and you see one character melt into the next.
Yeah, yeah.
With just acting. You know, and he's always aware that he's putting on an act, where you can't do that here.
No.
It doesn't work that way, so I don't know.
I'm still dying to see it apprehensively. Yeah. I will absolutely go see this opening weekend because... Yeah. I'm very curious. The Jesse Eisenberg Lex Luthor choice.
That looks horrible.
It looks horrible. You know, I can't judge it until I see it, really. But
I mean, just the way he talks, and
I'm not a big fan. I don't like Jesse Eisenberg.
No, me neither.
I find him to be a little whiny.
Well, my thing is, this is like he's got no gravitas. So when he gets tough, it's not going to seem believable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at the two scenes we see in the trailers, you know, him introducing Clark and Bruce, and then him getting tough with Lois, telling her she's got a little mind. It's just both scenes just look like shit. I mean, they're terrible to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
coming soon, so we'll see. I'm surprised that movie's not coming out in July or something, but it's not. It's coming out at the end of March, so.
Well, I think, you know... Star Wars and now Deadpool have both proven it doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't. Timing doesn't matter.
No. If people are going to go see a movie, they don't care if it's December, February, May. It doesn't matter. If it's a good movie...
They'll be there.
I never understood this. I mean, I understood that this goes back... This philosophy goes back to the 1970s. And back then, you know, people didn't go out on school nights. But that's not the case anymore.
No. No, it's not.
You know,
well, we also have we have Wonder Woman in this movie too,
right?
So you know, that's an angle that I'm excited to see.
Yes.
You see a couple fighting scenes in the trailer. It doesn't tease too much, but I'm really excited to see where they go with that, and I hope they do a good job because, you know, that movie is in production right now, pre-production, and that will be the first female-driven superhero movie. Basically since the Linda Hamilton Wonder Woman series and all of that.
Right.
You know, so it's a big deal, and I hope they do well at least with that.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to say, you know, of all the characters, what I've seen and heard so far about this film, that her character will be closer to the books than a lot of the other characters
that's that
I've
good.
Seen so far.
Yeah, so. That's a good thing. Well, let's talk about the other DC movie coming out this year, which is Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
that one comes out I think August 8th. That one I'm super excited about personally because the two trailers I've seen, the music choices alone in the trailers. The last one used Bohemian Rhapsody. The first one used I can't remember the name of the song. It's an old Bee Gees song, but they fit the tone. And Margot Robbie and Will Smith, every scene that they're in the trailer, for me at least, I mean, it just looks electrifying and fun, which is weird for a DC movie. You know, I'm used to these dark movies. This one actually looks kind of fun.
Well, I have to say, when I look at these films, especially with the music choices, I really think that they looked at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, yes.
And that's what they patterned this off of. especially because, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy kind of anti-hero-ish films. So I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think they got to hit the mark, because to do it with characters that not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the one thing about Guardians. It worked because they really nailed it.
They did. They did. And you know what? I don't think Suicide Squad is going to be as successful as that.
Right.
Mainly because we have a new Joker portrayal, and that could go either way. I mean, that's,
yeah.
People love Joker so much. So I'm just hoping that goes well. It looks fun to me, though.
I agree. No, it does. I mean, I think what might hurt it as well is if people go to see Batman, everyone's going to go see Batman versus Superman.
Of course.
But if people have a bad experience in that film, I think it might taint this film.
I think so. And I think, you know, some people had a bad experience with Man of Steel. So
right.
I think that tainted their going to Batman versus Superman.
Right.
To some degree.
I agree.
Well, let's talk about the Marvel movies, because Marvel movies, you know, as we've talked about countless times on this podcast, they usually deliver on the goods. And this, for me personally, I've loved the Captain America movies. I really have loved what they've done with that character. So we have the next Captain America movie on May 6th, which is Civil War. Right. A little disappointing so far what I've seen in the trailers and everything, because I love the Civil War comic series so much, but it's so overreaching. I mean, it reaches every character in the Marvel Universe, and they just can't do that, you know, rights-wise, because Sony owns the rights to a lot of important characters in this series. You know, they just can't afford to throw all of the characters in there. They just wouldn't be able to do it. It would have to be a trilogy of its own. So I don't think we'd ever get a full Civil War movie anyway. But there is part of me that's a little bitter, because I would have loved to have seen that trilogy.
Right.
But this still looks great. I mean, it still looks like a lot of fun. It's cool to see Iron Man and Captain America fighting in the previews, and you got Ant-Man in there during the Super Bowl spot, so I'm there.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think that this is going to be anything other than great. I mean, they've done nothing to show or nothing to make us think that it'll be anything less than good.
No.
I mean, the only thing that can affect it, and I talked about this last year with Ultron, is comic book fatigue.
It's setting in. It definitely is.
I mean, I was feeling it, you know, eventually we'll talk about Deadpool, but I was feeling it in Deadpool, where I was like, I've seen this.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen this.
Well, yeah. I feel like that with X-Men Apocalypse, which is coming out also in May.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
This may sound crazy, but I really have very little interest in seeing that movie.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it either, and it's weird because, what was the last one? See, the X-Men films... Days of Future Past. That's a good movie. But it wasn't a great movie. I feel like I feel tired with the X-Men movies.
It feels disposable.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, you know, the first couple X-Men films were great. Right. Third one was okay. Yeah. And then they did the first one with the younger cast, which was really good, I thought, you know, with the whole JFK, that whole scenario with Cuba and everything, the Cuban Missile Crisis, that was great. But the last one, it was good. It was very good, but it just didn't click with me. I didn't excite me. So Apocalypse is the same thing for me. They just feel like they're going through the motions a little bit.
Right.
And I think that is a symptom of comic book fatigue for me.
No, I think so. I think so.
You know, and I feel like with Age of Ultron, like you said, it's the same thing. That movie I was so excited for, and it just disappointed.
No, I agree 100%. We'll see.
I mean, I'm not going to see it in theaters, though.
The other thing about Apocalypse, you know, I'm looking at it. I mean, it is a lot of CGI. It is a lot of CGI.
Yep.
And you know, people keep saying that, you know, some of these movies look like a cutscene from a video game, and that movie really looks like a cutscene from a video game.
It does, and that, I don't know. It just, it gets a little, it definitely gets tired.
Yeah.
And you know, they all of these movies have a lot of CGI, but I'll say one thing for Zack Snyder, he's very good at blending CGI in a way that looks good.
Yeah.
His his Watchmen film was great. I thought it was really visually great. So he's good at that. Bryan Singer, I don't know. And plus Bryan Singer, with all the scandals and stuff like that, I'm surprised they're allowing him to keep directing these things.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's...
They make money, though.
If you make money, it's, you know, people will look the other way. It's just kind of the way things are. I mean, look at Donald Trump. He makes money and everybody looks the other way.
I know. Oh, jeez.
But that's a story for another podcast.
Yeah, that's another podcast. So there's one more, unless you're counting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I am not. There's one more comic book film this year.
Hey, but hold on one second. Don't knock Ninja Turtles because it's actually looking pretty good.
No, it does not look good. What are you talking about? All right. Why? Because Rocksteady and Bebop and Krang are in it? Or what? What looks good to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, at least it looks... I'll say one thing for this. At least Krang looks like Krang.
He does look like Krang.
Big robot, you know?
Yeah.
Bebop and Rocksteady Bebop and Rocksteady.
They look like the cartoon. And they're...
They
got the bus or the little van.
Yeah.
I will give you that. It does. It looks visually like the cartoon. Yeah.
Stephen Amell's playing Casey Jones. I mean, that's
yeah. That's
bad,
that's you know? Cool. But I'm gonna tell you, they still have nostrils.
I agree.
That's what it comes down to for me.
Well, that's one thing I don't get. It's like they at least with the sequel, they've done such a yeoman's job of making everything look right. So why do the turtles still look stupid? I don't get it.
They're like wearing weird clothes, and that part bugs me.
They've nailed everybody else, except for the main characters.
And it's a Michael Bay movie. I mean, you know, it's a Michael Bay production, and what's her name? Megan Fox is April O'Neil. All of that stuff just irks me.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you want to see it, I'm gonna let you review it on here. I'll take your word for it. Did you see the first one?
Yes, I did.
It was terrible.
Yes, it was.
All right. At least you agree there.
No, I won't disagree with that.
No, but the last comic book movie that I was going to talk about is Doctor Strange. And this one is exciting because, you know, Doctor Strange is well known to comic book people, but not to everybody. And, you know, we talked about Doctor Strange quite a bit during the casting phase. There's a comic book store nearby where I live, and Joaquin Phoenix, I can't remember what movie he was filming around here, but something, he stopped in there and got a huge stack of Doctor Strange books, and at the time he was in talks to possibly play Doctor Strange, so I was like, oh, yeah, this we got a scoop, you know? But no, it's Benedict Cumberbatch, which is even better. I mean, that's awesome casting, in my opinion.
I've been doing a tremendous amount of Doctor Strange research. I've also been buying up all the Doctor Strange number ones that I can from the 1970s.
Yeah, they could be worth money. More money.
But I've just gone back and I've been reading the books, you know, from the beginning, going back to, you know, books with the Steranko artwork and all that good stuff. And refining this character and really enjoying this character, and I'm pretty stoked to see this character come to life. I mean, I can't wait.
It's going to be fun, and that's a November release. A lot of these movies don't come out around that time of year, so I think that's kind of cool too.
Going to be a Christmas movie,
a holiday movie. With Marvel sounds good to me.
Works for me. And we'll have Rogue One around the same time,
too. Oh, God. So. And we'll do plenty of that on our sister podcast.
We'll wear that down to the ground.
We will. Soon. We're going to start soon.
Yeah.
Another movie, a big movie that's not a comic book movie coming out, is Ghostbusters.
Right.
And I think we'll probably wear that one down, too, because the first trailer that was announced today is coming out on the 3rd of March.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. We'll probably do something around that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was watching SNL last night, and I realized that 75% of the cast.
Yes.
Because Melissa McCarthy was hosting. So the only person you were missing was, oh, good Lord, what's her name? The main actress.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig, yeah. She's the only one that wasn't there last
night. And Chris Hemsworth, it looks like he's playing, like, the Janine role.
Yes, he is.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I'm excited for that. So, we'll talk about that when
there'll be a lot of excited ladies for that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure. People love him. They should have got Channing Tatum, though. He seems to be really popular with the ladies.
Yeah, but he's getting a little, they're kind of going to that Channing well a little too much lately.
Maybe. So. Yeah, I agree. Well, how about you give, like, your very quick review of Deadpool without spoilers?
All right,
and then we'll go into the interview.
So my spoiler-free review of Deadpool, it's good. Go watch it. It's a lot of fun. It suffers from a lot of things that comic book movies all suffer from. Most notably, it has a tremendously weak villain. The villain in this film is almost inconsequential, which is kind of sad. And the actor that plays him, I mean, basically the villain in this movie is a 1990s action film villain. He's a guy, he's got bombs, he does bad things, he must be stopped. So it's nothing to think. But Ryan Reynolds' performance is tremendous. It is a lot of fun. It is a two-hour comedy routine, basically. And then our guest today, Stefan Kapicic, his voiceover of Colossus, they nail Colossus in this one. Not only did they nail Deadpool, but they nailed Colossus, because we've had a lot of different incarnations of Colossus and different people, you know, different CGI versions of him and voice actors. But Stefan Kapicic's performance and his voice and the look of Colossus in this is perfect. He's basically Deadpool's conscience, all right? He's the one trying to set Deadpool straight where Deadpool's just not having it. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is excellent in this. Deadpool and her have got a lot of great rapport. Deadpool and his girlfriend is also wonderful. It is a love story. They talk about it. Deadpool does mention you can take your girlfriend to it on Valentine's Day because it is technically a love story. Gina Carano plays the villain's henchman in this. Gina Carano is a female MMA fighter, and she is tremendous as the henchman. It's interesting to have a woman henchman and a villain bad guy, and she's great. I mean, she's perfect for the role. She's convincing. She's got a great fight with both Colossus and Deadpool in it. So all in all, you know, definitely worth a watch. Like I said, once you get outside of Deadpool, the plot is kind of thin. Also, it's kind of like Star Wars in that when I watched it, the only thing I could think of was when they get to the sequel and they get past the origin story, this is going to be much better. I think both Deadpool and Star Wars right now are set up to have sequels that are going to be better than the originals, and I think are going to do better than the originals and perform better. So that's good news. Maybe, you know, it's good news now. We're enjoying these movies now, but I think that's really good news for 2017 or when we get to see those other films.
And the momentum is certainly building.
Oh, tremendous. I mean, you know, you have to think that the people at Fox, after the colossal failure of Fantastic Four last year and losing Spider-Man, that they must be absolutely out of their minds happy.
Yes.
And completely taken by surprise by this. But you got to give them credit for the work they put in with one of the greatest ad campaigns of all time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, down to the billboards they were putting up.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I
mean, everything was so well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the questions I asked Stefan in the interview, you know, what his opinion was of the marketing campaign. Because, you know, you have to think as an actor, to see a company get behind your movie this much must be such a relief. You know, a lot of times when you hear actors complaining about what happened in their films, usually it's because the company, you know, tries to make the film go away or they're, you know, not giving it the push that it needs. Whereas this is completely the opposite.
Well, let's go into the interview then.
All right, so like I said here, this is an interview with Stefan Kapicic, who is the voice of Colossus in Deadpool. Stefan was kind enough to spend some time with us this week. So I start out by asking Stefan, what was it like? What is his opinions of how Fox has handled the marketing of Deadpool?
Well, I need to say that 20th Century Fox did such an amazing marketing, and you know everything about Deadpool is so specific, and so unique, and so is the movie. So you know, in general, everything like how to say that it's brilliant in every way.
Our next question was about his mother, who we found out was an actress. We wanted to know a little bit more about her and both of his parents.
Yes. And she decided to, you know, there was like a choice between career and her family. And she said, yes, of course, my family. So she decided not to be an actress anymore. And, you know, I just like continued her path being an actress, and she's so proud. So she just, you know, she's my greatest, you know, critique, and she gives me, you know, all the good things when I'm good and the bad things. She's in the business still in her mind, you know, so it feels so good, and she feels so proud that I'm, you know, I just continued her path.
We also asked Stefan about his father, who's actually one of the greatest basketball players in Yugoslavian history, someone who had won several awards.
Yes, he was. He was even like a world champion in the 1970s with Yugoslavia. He is one of the best players in Yugoslavia of all time. You know, he had like gold world medal and gold European medals. So, and I was like trying to be a basketball player for like 9 years, but in the end, you know, my love towards acting was won. You know, so I'm happy that I just like switched to acting. My mother's path, and my, you know, I could never be as good in basketball as my father was.
Stefan's been in over 70 films, so next we asked him to tell us what it's like to have played so many roles.
Yeah, well, you know what, I'm just feeling lucky, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, be on the ground, as you can say, you know, and then just, you know, work every project that is like it's my first one, you know. I did like more than like 80 roles on film and TV and theater. And I love to say about me that first of all, I'm a theater actor, you know, because my first roles were in like national theaters in ex-Yugoslavian region. But then again, you know, being a part of, you know, Marvel Universe and the comic book universe is something that I was like dreaming my whole life.
One of the things we found out was that Stefan's first comic book was an X-Men comic that his grandfather bought him. So the question is, you know, what's it like to be able to play a character out of the X-Men?
Yeah, and this is really funny, you know, because people are thinking like, oh, come on, he's now playing like Colossus, he's from the X-Men. But, you know, it's really like that, you know. My first comic books were like X-Men and Wolverine when I was like 6 years old. And I still remember that because, you know, my grandpa took me and he bought me. And that was like a Wolverine special edition, which is like claw scratching the front page. And there was like lots of Punishers and Spider-Man. But, you know, those are like the comics that I still got because I'm like a collector. So I still got all of those comic books.
I followed up by asking Stefan what it was like to play a role that he wanted to play since he was a kid.
Well, as a matter of fact, the thing is that some things are just not, you cannot like verbalize them, you know, some feelings that you have because I'm a geek on one side, you know, so I'm totally into comic books and everything. And I really played and I did so many classical things like Shakespeare, like, you know, I like Dostoevsky. I did lots of genres and everything, and all of those projects, they had some specific value for me as an actor, you know. But when you come to the comic book world, you know, when you come to wake your inner child, and you know, when you get to have the chance to be something that you were dreaming as a kid, you know, it's unbelievable, you know. It's I cannot like even like explain that feeling, and I'm still feeling like that. Like I'm not realizing yet that this is going on. 2 days ago, we were like met to get, you know, all the cast came here to New York for a fan screening. So, you know, standing with all those guys, with all those fantastic actors, you know, with Tim and with all of those, I can even say like some of them are my real friends now. You know, I feel that Tim Miller is somebody who like is my one of my the best directors that I worked with, and I get him as my friend, and I hope that we're gonna work again soon. So, you know, this is for me crazy, you know, because I see all those fans, you know, the Deadpool fans, and then I see Rob Lee Field is the man who created Deadpool, who's coming to me, and he goes, "Oh my God, you nailed it! Your work is colossal." You know, and he's like writing those things on his social networks. Those are the things that I couldn't like dream of. I need to say that I really worked in theater in so many beautiful projects and like world not known and everything, but this has some different meaning to me. You know, it some way it's like I feel, you know, I got some sort of a gold medal, you know, or some sort of like my inner child Academy Award, you know. That's something like that. I achieved something that I was wishing my whole life.
We also asked what it's like to go from Shakespeare to playing Colossus.
Yeah, of course. especially, you know, because, but you know, in one moment, all those roles that you've played, they collide and they come, you know, and help you to bring some other character to life, you know. Even like, you know, playing Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, or playing, I don't know, Orestes in Electra, or playing, I don't know, Dmitry Karamazov in Dostoevsky, Father Karamazov. You know, you always reach to those roles when you're making something new and see if something you can, you know, put in something new. So it has like a big value for the new roles.
I asked Stefan, was this his first job in voice acting?
Well, as a matter of fact, no, because in Eastern Europe, like in that part of the world where I'm from, I'm doing so many of European market voiceovers, especially for cartoons. Like I just finished doing a Good Dino for European market, Inside Out for European market. I was working in Ice Age and Garfield. We've done so many great and big cartoons, you know, because we have to synchronize them over there. So I'm working a lot in voiceover world.
So to wrap up our interview, I asked Stefan to give us his final impressions about the Deadpool movie, being in it, the marketing, and his opinion on just the movie in itself.
Well, for me, this is definitely not the best Marvel. It's not because I'm just in the movie, but this is definitely, for me, the best Marvel movie ever made. Because that's something that I would love to see as a fan. And I would like to say to Deadpool fans, to the X-Men fans, and, you know, the fans at all, that they will not be disappointed. They will be so proud because they will be so satisfied with this movie. And to other audience, you know, that they need to see Deadpool, because it's not like your regular superhero movie. It's something, it's a game changer. It's a movie that will reach you. It's so funny. It's so clever. It's so fast. It's loaded with amazing action scenes. And you're going to love it. You're going to see it like a few times, definitely.
That was our interview with Stefan Kapicic, the voice of Colossus in the new Deadpool movie. We'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. I'm Rick Rebello.
I'm Tony Nunes.
And this is Hey You Geeks.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.